This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, July 26th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. The pandemic has meant a whole lot more screen time for most of us. It's also increased screen time for children. Virtual school, keeping up with friends on social media, maybe even playing more video games instead of playing sports. But with many sleepaway camps back in session this year, parents are seeing an opportunity to reduce screen time for their kids, bringing them back to pre-pandemic levels. On today's show, our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon joins us to discuss how families are taking advantage of this opportunity and what parents can do to seize the moment. That's after these headlines. General Motors has issued a second recall for its all-electric Chevy Bolt because of a potential battery defect that can cause fires. GM said an investigation found manufacturing defects in a certain battery cell could cause the lithium-ion batteries to ignite. The carmaker issued the initial recall last November, asking owners of the 2017 through 2019 model year Bolts to install a software update to monitor the condition of the batteries. But it has learned at least one car with the update experienced a battery fire. The GM recall underscores the technical challenges car companies are facing as they race to develop more plug-in vehicles. Chinese telecom giant Huawei has hired Democratic lobbyist Tony Podesta. The move is part of the company's efforts to expand its U.S. influence, according to people familiar with the matter. Huawei was a consistent target of the Trump administration, which accused it of supporting Chinese espionage and pressured U.S. allies to block the company from selling 5G equipment. Podesta has a long-standing relationship with President Biden and top White House aides. The full scope of his advocacy for the company is still being determined, according to a person familiar with the matter. And a string of big tech earnings come out this week. Tesla starts things off after the closing bell on Monday. Investors are expecting the electric car maker's sales to top $11.5 billion, according to FactSet. That would surpass the company's record-breaking earnings from the first quarter. Apple, Microsoft, and Google's parent company Alphabet release their earnings after the markets close on Tuesday, and Amazon's second quarter results come out on Thursday. Tech companies have seen large gains in earnings and stock prices during the pandemic. All right, coming up, is summer camp the opportunity to break kids of their tech addiction? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
For kids, summer sleepaway camp can be a chance to detach from their regular lives and experience nature, jumping into chilly lakes, hiking through forests, sing-alongs, and s'mores. While the transition from a busy school year to a camp schedule can often be difficult, this summer comes after a year in which many children spent a lot more time playing on their devices or glued to screens, and many summer camps have no tech rules. Some parents are viewing this as an opportunity to help their kids reduce their tech intake, at least back to pre-pandemic levels. Joining us to discuss this is our columnist, Julie Jargon. Hey, Julie.
Hi.
So we've all been using our devices a lot more, but what are you hearing from parents about how much screen time their kids have been getting during the pandemic?
Kids have been getting way more screen time during the pandemic than they ever had before. Between remote school, trying to stay connected with friends and family, and trying to stay entertained and out of their parents' hair, kids have been on screens all day long, sometimes well into the night during the pandemic as they transition from school to video games to chatting with their friends. So it's been a lot.
You know, I think as adults, a lot of us can feel that we need a break from our screens for our own sanity. What are experts saying about the impact screens can have on kids' mental health?
You know, in some cases, increased screen use has been associated with higher rates of anxiety and depression, depending on what type of screen use is being used and, you know, how long. You know, if kids are comparing themselves to others, that can have a detrimental impact on their mental health. And also just the amount of time kids are spending on screens instead of other activities that kind of help give them a more rounded out life experience. That can also just kind of have a detrimental impact on their general well-being. So there's a lot to be said for taking some breaks.
So Julie, Sleepaway Summer Camp is back, miraculously. You spoke to some campers and their parents. What did they tell you about what it's been like to be separated from their devices while they're away?
Some campers have had an especially difficult time this year adjusting to camps where screens are not allowed. It's been their lifeline to their friends back home. It's been their way to communicate with family and friends, and also just the separation from their parents, who they've been around 24/7 for the last year and a half. That's been a hard adjustment as campers deal with more homesickness this year. And also what I'm hearing from some camp counselors and directors is kids are having a hard time winding down at night. You know, a lot of kids have used their phones or iPads to help them kind of unwind at night before bed. And one camp director I spoke with said that just reading a book and kind of winding down naturally has been a struggle for a lot of kids this year.
What are those summer camps doing to cope with this issue of device separation then?
A lot of summer camps have a strict no device policy. And one camp director mentioned that, you know, campers have been complaining and trying to negotiate for some iPad time. And, you know, some of them are just not allowing for any negotiation whatsoever that, you know, this is camp. This is time to get out and spend some time outdoors and do real life activities. You know, they're taking a hard line on the cell phone, the no cell phone policies that they have in place.
So how are parents approaching the return? I mean, certainly they can't think 2 or 4 weeks away from devices is enough time for their kids to kick the tech habit.
Exactly. I think a lot of parents are just looking at this break from screens as an opportunity to reset some of the pre-pandemic screen rules they had and saying like, look, you've been away for a couple of weeks. You survived. You probably had a good time. When you get back, things are going to be different. The school year is going to be starting. But in many cases, there are, you know, a couple of weeks or more left between the end of camp and the start of school. So a lot of parents are looking at this as a time to do a little reboot and get back to some more screen time limits.
All right. For parents looking to seize this moment, then, what are some of the tips you got from experts?
The first thing parents should do is make sure they set realistic expectations. One expert mentioned that, you know, you can't just expect kids to not have screens anymore just because they've gotten back from a couple of weeks without having them. Kids will want to reconnect with their friends back home and probably stay in touch with the friends they made at camp. So it's more about establishing times when parents feel it's okay to let kids use their phones or tablets. Another thing parents can do is try to replicate what their kids enjoyed most about being at camp. For a lot of kids, it might just be the freedom and independence they enjoyed, not being under their parents' constant watch. So to the extent that it's safe and possible to provide your kids with some more freedom when they return, parents might want to consider things like allowing their kids to go on bike rides around the neighborhood, you know, getting together with friends in a more relaxed way without a scheduled activity. Another big thing that I always come back to in columns is the idea of not allowing screens to be used in the bedroom. And that's because scrolling in the middle of the night, texting friends in the middle of the night is really bad for sleep. And especially as we get closer to fall, when kids go back to school, making sure they get a good night's sleep is really important. Another thing is to realize that kids really thrive on having rules, even though it may seem like they don't like rules around screen use and they push back and complain. The fact is, according to child development experts, kids actually are happier when they have boundaries. I talked to one 10-year-old camper who said that she loses track of time when she's on her phone, and she really can't limit herself. So she appreciates when her parents instill some limits for her. And then lastly, it's really good for parents to model the type of behavior they expect from their kids. Parents can look at this brief time away from screens as being sort of a reboot for the whole family.
That seems like a really good point. Maybe this is the moment for parents to reduce their screen time as well.
Exactly. I think we've all come to rely on our phones far too much and other devices during the pandemic. You know, we're all working and we're trying to stay connected with our friends and also just sometimes de-stressing by looking at Instagram. So, you know, it's probably a good time for us all to do a reset.
All right. That's our columnist, Julie Jargon. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
Well, that's it for today's tech news briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.